Hugo Stiglitz. Lieutenant Aldo Rain. These are the bastards. Ever heard of us? We just want to say we're a big fan of your work when it comes to killing Nazis. I think you show great talent. And I pride myself in having an eye for that kind of talent. But your status as a Nazi killer is still amateur. We all come here to see if you want to go pro.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Is there like a boxing match going on?
We're just happy for Douglas.
Oh, okay.
He's back. Didn't think we'd see him this week.
He just kept going like, guys, tickets be sold out.
Yep.
It's funny to me so much because Damon and I were literally talking about that the morning of. We're like, he's going to tell us something later today, isn't he?
Yep. Like 10 seconds later, Andrew was proven right.
And he was.
We might have been doing this podcast for 10 months.
Which is why I was asking, did he go with you? Because then I know what happens. Mm-hmm. If that isn't promised, then I know I'm screwed. But anyways, we're here to discuss the only movie that exists in cinema anymore. Because The Mouse has taken over all of movies. That is Marvel Cinematic Universe's latest chapter. Chapter 22. Avengers Endgame.
Hi, is anyone home? This is Scott Lang. We met a few years ago at the airport in Germany. I got really big.
Is this an old message?
Ant-Man, I know you know that.
What's the front door?
That's me. Can you buzz me in?
Damien, we have been watching Avengers movies now for 11 years. Right? It started out small with Iron Man in a desert, in a cave, banging on some metal, hoping to dear God he can get out alive. And now we have Asgardians, we have Wakanda galaxy. Tech, we have space battles, and we also finally have Thanos getting punched in the fucking face. Right? They technically have delivered on the promise they gave us 10-11 years ago when they started this whole thing, to say that it's be the biggest thing you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Is it? Or is it just another movie that's way too long and has just some cool special effects?
Want to go first? I love, like, myself and Damien just looked at each other and we're like, all right, which one? Who's going to break here? So, I guess I can start talking and I have a number of things to say. Yes. But, Andrew, I have to tell you, I don't know how much or how easy it's going to be for me to talk about this without just spoiling the crap.
I feel like we probably should just lift the lid on that at this point. Because, I mean... 90% of our podcast at this point is us just screaming the shit we love, as opposed to actually reviewing it anyways. And also for a movie like this, where I feel a lot of people who want to engage in it are so spoiler-phobic that the decision of what is and isn't becomes so weird that we getting into that argument will get upset every day of the week. So listen here, guys. We're just going to spoil the movie, right? So if you're here in this moment and you have not seen Endgame and you still care, come back next week when you've watched it.
Quick question.
Don't do it, Damien. I know what you're going to say.
Based on how much money this movie
I knew it.
For the three people. Who are these people?
They're the three people who listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
I have bad news for you.
Only one person listens to this podcast. Right. But okay, so Andrew, I have made, and Damian can attest to this, a barrage of notes about this movie and also about my experience watching this movie. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is not a spoiler because, and I wrote it in three succinct words, Carib strikes again. I forgot why I don't like going to Carib.
No, you didn't. Don't say that.
Because
I'm calling shenanigans immediately.
So one thing that I was very happy for is that they gave us the option to watch it in 3D and in 2D.
Or the right
way. Right.
The bad way or the good way.
Exactly. And I watched it in the good way, the second dimension.
Did they turn on the AC?
Yes, it turned on eventually.
They did not win my.
I think it was, they were trying to save some money, so it was up and down, but it did not get unbearable. So I'll give them that. But, and the thing about it is, right, so I went to the movie, and this is not just a personal thing. I realized that I don't like people.
I'm calling you. You've known that for a while.
And I'd assume for this movie where people are there this time, that might be a problem for you.
To be fair, it was not 100% packed, but it was a good 70 to 80% full. And I was not having it. But that's not what happened.
So you're blaming Carib for selling tickets. All right, cool.
So Andrew, I went to watch this movie. And actually, I was pleasantly surprised because the movie actually looked good. I was in Cinema One and it looked like I was watching it in actual, at least HD. Maybe not 1080, maybe like, you know, 720.
That's why I did a definition.
No, it looked good on the screen. And I was, you know, actually getting used to watching something good. And so Andrew, this movie ends at like the 2 hour mark, right?
No, there are 3 whole hours.
Oh, are there? Okay. Because at about, actually, it's not the 2 hour mark. It's like, I think it was 15 minutes or 10 minutes before the movie finishes. There were some sparkles on the screen. And then there was nothing on the screen. There was sound. But so there was
so you didn't
zero.
See, you didn't get to see Wakanda enter the scene. Or
No. It was after Wakanda. It was before Asgardians of the right before Asgardians of the Galaxy.
But the fight had ended.
Yeah, the fight had ended. But thankfully, I did not lose my cool. I remember I uttered a few 4-letter words before realizing that this was a children's movie and I should temper my language.
Although you went at 8 o'clock on a school
night. There were a bag of children.
Oh, so there's terrible periods.
Yes, there are.
Right.
And thankfully, after about 10 minutes, they figured out how to turn on the on switch. And I got to watch the rest of the movie. But it's good to know, to remember that I'm right. And that I should just not go there ever again. It's just unfortunate that every once in a while, the world forces me to... Because even if Andrew didn't want to talk about this movie, there's no way I couldn't go see this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I would have waited an extra week so that I wouldn't have the people problem, but I would have had the shitty video problem. Let's be real.
Boy.
Right? So Carib points. So let's actually talk about the movie now. And before I go through, because as you said, Andrew, I think my notes are more like me just screaming what I like or dislike about this movie or the jokes that I came up with while watching. But I think that I need to say very loudly and upfront just how bloody good this movie is. This movie is fantastic. And Damon is giving me a look like... No, it is not. Like it is the worst movie ever made.
It's not that. But it is also not the thing you said.
But I really like this movie. And
go watch this movie.
There's so many good things about it. And it actually has, I don't want to sound like that, you know, movie
late.
Buff, whatever. Or
it's too late.
Yeah, but it has like depth and things to it more than it's a movie. But it still is just a shitty, I love it. Anyway, so first of all, I was surprised. So I assumed, right, that we were just going to go into a movie that was like, guess what, guys? More comic books. Mm-hmm. We will start right where we left off and it'll take them about a week to finish. When 5 seconds into the movie, they're like, yeah, it didn't work out. And 5 years later, that was impressive that they were willing to make that jump and take me on that ride with them. And it started to raise a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. Especially closer to the end when, I mean, spoiler alert, everybody comes back, right? I love how...
Not everybody.
Yeah, well, in everybody enough, okay?
Thanos didn't come.
You sure about that? But so, at the end of the movie, when people start coming back, and it's been 5 years, and they... It's not like they're... All right, let's start over. Because clearly I'm jumping ahead. Because what I'm about to say won't make any
just
sense.
Just take me through the events.
Yeah, we'll have to take you through the movie. Sorry, right. My bad. So,
that's fine.
So, 5 years later, essentially they live in like a post-apocalyptic aftermath of a world where people cry on dates because that's what the apocalypse looks like, apparently. Mm-hmm. Just people crying and being civilized.
I mean, if half of the people you knew disappeared from reality, you'd cry too.
No, I know.
Well, no,
but
not
just,
you, because you've hated. You hated half of those people to
I'd
begin with.
I'd be real
with.
Happy. Right. I'd be like Tony.
Finally, some peace and quiet.
But no, it's just funny that that's the thing that Disney decides to focus on. They're like, we know who we are. This is a kids' movie. Yeah, we cry. and then essentially, the team gets back together. And they realize, oh, wait, why don't I just go back in time? And
no, first a rat presses a button.
Come on, let's forget about horseshit like that, right? So they realize they need to go back in time because...
Time heist.
Yeah, they need to do a time heist. Because guess what? Time heist. You know what? I'm not even going to explain much more. But shenanigans ensue and everybody comes back and they win, right?
I'm back.
Yay! But so, as I said, when everybody comes back, you start to question certain things. Like, for example, one of the big questions that I had was about the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was one of the guys that weren't there anymore.
Right, where?
For 5 years.
In the snapping, yeah.
Supposedly, Wakanda, the place, still existed.
Mm-hmm.
So, is the Black Panther still king? Did he immediately become king when he came back?
Yeah, that's how that works.
And if so, what happens? Who replaced him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of voting for M'Baku, right? Because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who makes just random animal noises,
you
great in
it.
My book, right? But in a way, I don't want it to be him because then you think about what happens to that replacement king. Is it that there is some sort of Wakanda version of seppuku or another ritual combat or sacrifice or something. I don't want that to happen to him. I like him too much.
Mm-hmm. I think he just give it back.
You give it back?
Yeah. He just go, word, you're back?
Well, yeah.
He just shows up. That's why it takes a little while for all of them to get transported in.
Yeah.
Right? There's that 1 hour period of him like walking up to the podium and being like, I'm not dead, bitches. And then they're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
And I kind of really like that they did things like that where you're going 5 years into the future and you know that every movie after this is now going to have to deal with that weirdness of where 5 years in the future, half of everybody lived through the worst, and the other half are kind of confused, but we'll have to deal with the half of the people that are probably still either really depressed or whatever it is.
Yeah, still very, very, very depressed.
Yeah. So that, I'm really looking forward to see what the rest of the movies look like. Now, Toby Thor.
Oh, the best thing in this movie.
Yep.
Toby As usual, Thor is always the best thing in these movies.
He's great.
Fat Thor.
And
Fat
Thor. I love that nobody actually makes a reference to this, because you don't need to. We all know that he is Jeffrey Lebowski.
I actually didn't think about that for the whole time in the movie until I think I saw someone make a joke on the internet to say, why is it he's never holding, like, the white Russian? I'm like, oh my God. Actually, no.
He's literally wearing a costume.
Yeah, I think actually Tony Stark makes the reference to him at some point.
Oh, does he?
To call him Lebowski.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that was one of the times when these assholes were applauding the people can hear you. And I cannot wait for the next few movies with him in it, so Taika can make so many jokes.
He'll be thin immediately.
Oh my! No, he better not be.
He'll be thin.
He better not be. Because
the best you get, Douglas, is you get a montage of him becoming thin.
Yeah, you get a callback.
Listen here.
He'll be thin immediately.
I saw when Fat Mac came out in It's Always Sunny. Those jokes lasted for a year and they worked.
He'll be thin immediately.
I actually was surprised in this movie when we get to the final battle and you see he gets his hammers and lightning going. If you notice, like, immediately his beard is braided and his armor is on, almost like the first movie where, like, he gets the hammer and all of Thor becomes Thor, that they didn't make him thin in that minute.
That'd be funny.
That his body didn't just transform to, like, full-blown, like, Thor mode.
Yep. And by the way, so did anybody else notice that they came up with, well, they didn't come up with, but they put forward a time travel theory in this movie that a lot of people have, right? You know, you can't change the past because if it's changed, then you won't do any of this. Did anybody catch that right after they said that and made such a big deal out of that they changed the past?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. But this is the dumbest thing
ever.
This is one of those movies where they get to talk about time travel seriously for like a hot second and then ignore it, and we won't care because it is, as Damien says, do it one more time for me.
It's a stupid cartoon.
Of course.
Time travel.
Because we have enough fun, right? I was actually interested watching it. I actually watched this movie a second time by now. And the one thing I recognized, like, besides the really obvious thing that they threw in at the end for the change of time, right? Mm-hmm. That they intentionally gave Loki an out so we know he's alive. Right?
I guess, yeah. I suppose because if time has now changed, when he did that thing, I guess he doesn't have to have done whatever. Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious, especially, and I think that's what you were just talking about a while ago. In the end, when they go right back to the theory, they're like, whoa, guys, listen, we have to make sure and put all of these things back exactly where they were.
And don't change
so that the time can stay the same when literally they've already changed the past.
Yep.
I love that. So a small thing. I'm upset that Cassie is now old, Ant-Man's daughter, because I was looking forward. Oh, she's so good in those movies. Yes. And I was looking forward to more shenanigans like, I don't know, cardboard heists and things like that with her. That is probably number two on my most upsetting things. Number one on my most upsetting things about this movie is old Captain America.
He old.
Yeah, because he's old now. And so I'm worried about a couple of things. One.
Now we get Captain Falcon.
Yeah, but the thing is, mm-hmm. they've already said that he's just getting his TV show. So mm-hmm. if he has a TV show, does that mean that there really are no more Captain America movies?
Because I think Captain America movies. All right, and this is my theory, and I think they did it really well in this movie. I think they truly want to hand off this to now the new franchises that we have.
I think that's what they were trying to do.
The ones that I would pinpoint to be the focal point is going to be Black Panther, it's going to be mm-hmm. Captain Marvel, and it's going to be mm-hmm. Spider-Man. And I think you can tell they did that intentionally, because when we get to that final battle and mm-hmm. it's about getting the gauntlet across, those are the three that carry it across.
Okay, right? Fair enough.
And yeah. I think they wanted to iron that home, to be like, look, maybe we might have as Guardians of the Galaxy, but this will always be secondary Marvel things. We're definitely done with Captain and Iron Man. These are the ones you should look forward to.
Yep. And that's upsetting, because I would love to see a Captain America movie with Falcon in it. Like, the fact that
it's this... called The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Shut up. the fact that this this cartoon movie dynasty has made me love Anthony Mackie so much uh-huh. is a testament.
Which I told you from so long ago. He's so good.
No. I have to be very careful about what I watch him in outside of this rubbish.
What about that great Netflix movie?
Yeah. I didn't watch that. But yeah, it'll be great to watch him as Captain America or Captain Falcon or whatever.
He'll still appear in the movies. Right?
Oh yeah, obviously.
But he's black.
Also, Captain America, the Captain America movies for the last few years have been the best ones.
Not in Trump's America.
Right? And another thing about old Captain America that makes me upset, and maybe they can do something about this, I don't know.
Didn't get Robert Redford to play.
All right. I have to shake hands. Cool. Listen. You cannot tell me, Damian White.
Yes, sir.
Andrew Robinson.
Uh-huh.
That you are not looking forward to the next Captain America movie where he is swinging that hammer.
That is the part that is upsetting.
That is upsetting.
Yeah, him being old, who gives a shit? The fact that he doesn't get that hammer again, she's very upsetting.
And maybe they'll pull a fast one and be like, all right, here what? Since we changed time already, we changed the past, mm-hmm. let's just make another Captain America movie where he's in the past, married to Peggy.
Someone just goes and gets him.
Right? Yeah.
He's like going like, look, I told myself I was going to do this, but there's a bad guy over there. I have a hammer. Let's get this done quickly.
Exactly. So maybe. But I love that he is now dealing with a hammer, and it was great. And as I said to you, one of the things that I love about this movie is also it points to the future, and I cannot wait to watch the next Guardians movie.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
Absolutely. Because you're going to have, they've set up this new scenario where there's clearly, I mean, it won't be officially the plot of the story, I don't think, but a big part of it is going to be them and specifically Quill searching for Gamora, and that's going to be fun. Also, we've said it, Thor is, I mean, even if he's just there for 5 minutes,
I still don't believe that he's committed to that franchise, but yeah.
Oh no, he's not. I don't think he's going to be in it for more than like the amount of time it takes him to say, you know what, I need to go to something else with my life. But those 5 to 10 minutes, Andrew, will be glorious. Right? And what it will do is it will, because they will call Taika, you will get a solid 5 to 10 minutes where Taika and James Gunn sat down in a room and said, what's the funniest thing that the two of us can come up with? Mm-hmm. And Andrew, you will not stop laughing.
He still doesn't like Warren ever.
All right, Andrew, you will stop laughing. You probably won't start laughing. But yeah, no, that would be superb. And I'm a little sad, but I knew it was happening. There's officially going to be no more Iron Man. Not even Iron Man adjacent. So for the last 12 years, we've only had Iron Man adjacent. Because the last time Iron Man 3 came out in like 2008 or something?
Yeah.
No, sorry, 2012 rather.
And everyone realized we don't care about Iron Man Iron Man only stories.
Which is annoying because I care very much about them. But
did you like watching him drag his suit across the snow and talking to a little boy?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Did you guys like catch the little boy grown up in this movie?
Is that who it was? Yeah, I saw him and I was like, clearly I'm supposed to know who this is, but I didn't. So that was the mechanic boy?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Fair enough.
I actually didn't realize it when I watched the movie. I was just like, I don't know that face. And I looked it up after the fact. I'm like, oh,
the internet that makes sense. Quick with telling me who that was.
Yeah. But anyway, after talking about all the likes and dislikes, which really they're all likes. Mm-hmm. This movie, I loved a bunch of things. I love the fact that I really like the fact that Iron Man, like, they had this push and pull where Tony Stark essentially was like, yeah, I'm not going to help you because daughter now. And you saw it from, like, even before he said anything, because this is a Disney movie, so they had to put it up front and center. But they did take a second for you to be like, oh, this is what is happening here. He does not want to lose his family that he's made for himself. And he clearly is, you know, maybe not a real adult, but 5% more of an adult than he was before this whole thing went down. And that was great. The fact that they've put things like that in this now. Just that the immensity of that last fight. From second one. And of this whole movie, this movie had essentially every character that they've ever made in it.
Mm-hmm. We thought they did that in the last one, but they didn't in this one.
Oh yeah. This movie felt big. I was sitting down watching the screen and the screen felt like it grew. Because there were so many people in it, and just the way that visual of the magicians or the sorcerers putting getting everybody to the battlefield from everywhere is woof. Damien, I love this movie.
I hear and it in your voice.
I can't believe that I'm saying this because to date, I've liked all of them.
Yeah.
I enjoy the shenanigans and the just dumb foolishness that's in it. But I think I really like this movie.
It sounds like it. Good. Andrew Robinson.
Yes, sir.
I think you should go next.
I'm afraid of Damien, though.
Me too. It's okay. Damien, I mean, as did I, Damien can bring his apology letter later.
you know what I think it is? I think it's Damien doing the most Damien thing, which is he's going to say there's half of the movie where people punch each other nonstop, which he loves, where they talk he doesn't need because he thinks that's not a movie.
Yep. So we've met before.
Which is upsetting to me because the talking is the good stuff.
I love that Damien's laughing at this, and all I have to say to shut him up is Godzilla.
Oh, Lord. Oh hilarious. Godzilla is a different type of stupid. The talking part isn't the part that I like on Godzilla. It's just them taking it dead fucking serious. This is the part you're just like, oh, thank you. It is. So, they put out a new trailer this morning for Crawl. So that is definitely, outside our Avengers date in this podcast, there's a new trailer for a movie called Crawl. Where Sam Raimi is making a movie where a giant alligator is attacking our family. And instead of it being Lake Placid, which is trash, he's taking it dead serious, which is what Godzilla did where there's a giant lizard attacking people. And instead of you going, this is retarded, the people who made it went, what if we took this as seriously as we can?
Why?
That's what Sam Raimi is doing. And it looks real good.
Damien, that man knows how to make me watch a movie. Yes.
For good or ill, yeah, he knows how to get us to watch movies.
But yeah, coming back to this movie, right?
Yeah.
Because Douglas talks about it a little bit. There's the whole idea of the 5-year jump. And don't worry, I have stupid time travel questions. But I think my most curious question has to do with like the exact end of this movie. When you see Spider-Man go back to school.
Yes. Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see how they do
it. And like, I understand statistics and shit, right? But we've already seen a trailer for the Spider-Man movie we're going to see in the summer.
Yes.
Right? And basically the entire crew are all together. And yeah. I'm like, does that mean statistically, like, luckily the whole school got wiped?
No, so not the whole school, just the pretty ones.
Yeah. I just want
the ones
at least,
we care about.
I just want at least a couple people to at least be shown in that movie to be like, you're no longer in school anymore, and they're like adults walking around, so that like I can have some stats tell me, yes, somebody got it. Right?
Yeah, the black guy that always did use the bell for humor, he's older.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because he's completely unimportant to the movie. Yeah.
Just the people that's you what didn't care about.
Exactly.
Him, his sidekick, and the other girl that was hilarious. They'll all be there. The rest of them, who gives a shit?
Even though, to be fair, based on how the sidekick embraced Peter Parker, he to deserve what he did and the emotions on his face, he needed to be 5 years older.
No. Because he would have heard, everyone would have told him, yo, dog, you're dead.
Yeah.
And now you're back. And he would have seen Peter and just like, Peter, remember, like, everyone's dead. People keep telling me, and if you're here, it means you also.
All right, fair enough.
And Peter would have told him, I was on a different planet and got murdered.
I like, by the way, how they
trying to prevent the snapping.
I like how they got this workaround so that Gamora could live again. Because she's one that was not coming back. Oh, speaking of somebody who wasn't coming back. What's her name? Olsen.
Widow?
Not Black Widow.
Who?
The sister of the Fast Man.
Oh.
The not twin.
Yeah.
Quindra, what's her name?
No.
Not Quindra.
The woman.
Scarlet Wanda.
Something like that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Her, just murdering
She was
Thanos.
Upset. She was upset.
Ooh, that's great.
I'll
watch that for 3 hours.
I like Thanos' overreaction. Just like, you kill everybody.
Can you see it in his face? He's like, wait, this woman can, ooh.
This ain't right.
She can throw down.
So, Andrew, yes, tell us about your feelings of Thanos 2.
Thanos 2.
Snapping.
So, okay. The first, like, it's hard for me to kind of time box this to kind of figure out what the sections of this movie are. So, to me, there are 3 sections of this movie. There's the first part.
The second act and the third act.
So, there's the boring part. There's the part where they're gone, the time heist. And then there's the movie part. So I've broken it down for you. You can't go from there.
So the time heist.
Right.
Because the first part I can't defend because Damien has made his decision.
I know, right? Which is annoying heist. Because Andrew, me and you are on the same page, right?
Basically.
Yeah. Good, very good. Yeah. Right.
Quick question. You remember the first Avengers movie?
No,
just
Damien,
hold on. Just hold on.
Damien.
I'm just asking a simple question.
I do.
Okay. Do you remember my feelings on the first Avengers movie?
I do.
Then you cannot come here and think that you can't be surprised of my reaction of this movie. You can't be. It's still me. It's still me. I'm planning to watch it again to see if I can get more out of the not movie section. But what I'm really doing is watching it to see where exactly I cut to tack this on to the first better movie so that I can have one good movie. This is what I'm really going back there to do.
That makes a lot of Damien sense.
Yes.
So, you know, we have the Guillermo Mito and we have the Damien sense, right? Mm-hmm. I think this perfect. Perfect pairing.
You're welcome.
The time heist.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Time travel.
Like, there's the early stages of the time heist where they're testing shit out and it's just kind of like science fiction shenanigans, including a baby Ant-Man, which is so good. Like, I think one of the things I truly love about this movie is that, to me, like, I mean, you can obviously say, like, who gets the final win point at the end of the movie, but to me, it's Ant-Man and Hawkeye that save this movie, that actually save the Avengers out of their ridiculousness. Oh. Right?
Oh, okay.
And for some reason, that tickles me inside way too well, and I adore it. And I think the next thing for me is that when you get into the time heist and they finally actually enact their plan, second, I need a GIF of Fat Thor explaining the ether and the reality stone to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that scene might legit be my favorite moment in this movie when he's explaining that he used to date Natalie Portman and things happened in space. I thought that was amazing.
I think we watch different movies.
That's entirely plausible. I went to a real theater and you went to Carib.
You see, that doesn't hurt because I've been going to Carib for 6 years. This is now 6 years to the day when I said to you all, I'm never going back. And you all said, Damon, don't do this. Remember when I stopped going to Carib? And you guys went, Damon, if we're going to suffer, we should suffer together. So you can't use that to hurt me, though. It's too late.
I guess. But when the time heist starts and they hit us with Avengers 1, there is a level of excitement that I felt not knowing this was going on that I could not contain, right? From seeing all of, I don't know if they reshot a lot of footage or if they just use extra footage of scenery of what they were doing with, like, the Hulk complaining about stairs or Banner Hulk Hulk thing saying that smashing things is ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. And then Damian's favorite moment that he's already told me about of Ant-Man inside Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Did Carib do what it did when I watched it? When Ant-Man said, Iron Man, I'm inside
you.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
I heard somebody say something like, I'm born for that. Like,
yeah, but the entire theater was like, no.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at Nicola like, I have to leave now. Oh, I have to leave this theater. Oh, I don't want to watch. Like,
Damon, I forgot about that.
I legit looked at the people I went to the movie with. I go, I don't want to see this movie anymore. I forgot. I mean, it started before the movie started. Some people were in peak Jamaica mode, like arguing over seats. I was just like, I think we should leave. But when Ant-Man said, I'm inside you, that theater was not having it.
So, you know what is even better? At the end of the movie, I was walking out and I was hearing people say things like, No. Somebody have explained that to me because that don't make any sense. And they essentially were trying to pretend like they read all of the comics and that this didn't make any sense because of X and, you know, they're essentially arguing fake science, which I just love.
They started, we went to dinner after the movie and the people who I was with started that conversation, and I said, let's not do this. But their rebuttal was, we can't talk about how shitty the JoJo's jerk pit is. And I went, continue with this conversation. JoJo's side note, JoJo's jerk pit, still a shithole. Moving on.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the general stuff that went on in the time heist. Just like that felt like a movie on its own that I adore, right? All mm-hmm. of it. And I mean, I feel like it leans heavily on the Avengers side of it, the Avengers 1 moments in it, because when we jump around to like Hawkeye and I forgot Black Widow doing their thing, like I think that scene is the one scene of the movie that I feel they could have pulled a Damian cut and put a title card in front of.
Sorry, and just said scene?
when they go for the Soul Stone and it's Hawkeye and Black Widow fighting Aww. For the right to kill each other, to yeah. kill the other one, to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, yeah, I keep messing that up. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a scene where when it starts, when they reach the Soul Stone and you see Red Skull again, which I'm happy to see him here. I loved him there from Infinity War. And they reach to the end point that you know what's going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. We know exactly what's happening in that scene. Right, that scene is probably the most predictable of all of the scenes that this movie gives us,
and probably one of the best.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't mind that scene at all, Andrew. That scene is
definitely one of the high points.
I understand
in that
why
movie.
Damian likes that, yeah. that scene, and it's the same reason I like that.
Definitely
scene.
One of the high points in that movie.
I don't know
how
what high
that,
points.
How is that the high point? Oh
it's
my
a
god!
Point that yeah.
Please tell me more, Douglas.
Excuse me. Sorry. That is just...
It is the two murderers.
It's just dumb. Yeah.
It is
the
fact that
them just one up each other.
And, absolute murderers to go out there and be like, listen. Because you knew both of them were going to be like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to let you murder yourself. Yeah. And they had to outmaneuver each other. Mm-hmm. To kill themselves, which is, guys, I want you to remember, this is a children's show.
A children's movie where in the first scene they cut off somebody's
yeah,
head,
that
right?
is, right. Okay. And then the movie is all right. I'll go.
But yeah.
I'll get
Andrew,
my turn.
just chalk it up to.
It's real good.
It's War on Everyone.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah. It's
of things.
Real good.
And that's, it makes sense.
For a thing that is, so depressing. They made that scene really. It's a fun scene for a thing that for a thing like that to happen. They found a good way to make that scene not just the most depressing thing you've seen, which I found impressive.
And then, of course, for some reason, Thor goes back to the worst Thor movie, and somehow made it fun for me to see Thor 2 again. To see that scene with Thor and his mother having their moment while Rocket is apparently assaulting Natalie Portman, who, of all of the people that they bring back to this movie, which, I'm not gonna lie, I got more and more surprised with every scene as to who they got to bring back, including Robert Redford, to, like, redo mm-hmm. things for this movie. Natalie Portman's the one person they couldn't get, so they just used old footage, and it shows. But that's not really important in any way.
It's good how little I remember of Thor 2. I think I only saw that the one time. I knew immediately this ain't happening again.
But
don't
even
make my mistake, Damian.
Like, my hatred for that movie is just residual at this point. It's just it's more a feeling than knowledge.
Yep.
I know it's bad. Can't tell you why. But like religious belief, I truly believe movie's trash.
But I mean, every minute from Infinity War and this movie continues it, every minute that Thor and the rabbit is running around, I love. Because they just work together, right? And then the whole thing ends with Thor finally getting his hammer back. And it's on a
because
smile.
Ratchet at one point and
yes.
almost collapsed.
That was fun. Yeah.
It's a smile moment because you just see him go like, I'm still worthy. And then of course that leads into like the final battle where now they're the two there's the axe and the hammer lightning fighting going on, which is amazing. But it's
Captain.
Right. Cat. It's ridiculous. But yeah, that moment in the whole final battle when finally Cap is using Mjolnir and, or as Damian's favorite lady calls it, Mew Mew, where they accidentally swap the weapons and he goes like, no, you get the little one and this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me that one back. You get the tiny one. And like this movie, like from the beginning of the heist onward, like I'm willing to let Damian shit on talking for half an hour, right? Because I think the movie opened great with the murdering of Hawkeye's family.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you should see.
Yeah, it did. Right
now.
I think the way they led us to Dark Hawkeye wasn't the best, and even better yet, the way that like Black Widow goes to be the one to pull it, like it just felt kind of like we're just waiting for the time heist to happen, and we needed him. So we needed things to happen.
Was perfect. Wait. Thought this movie was
Damian,
perfect.
Damian. Moments. Like, I understand that a Damian sense doesn't allow for this section to pass water, for him to let it go and just enjoy the rest of the movie. But I liked a good amount of what happened in that first section. Not all of it, but a good amount. Right?
I enjoyed everything.
Right. Who's been to space before? Right. Like this movie's great. I enjoyed this movie thoroughly. So much so that I've seen it twice and I'm already telling myself I want to go and watch it again, even though it has a 3-hour fucking runtime.
Yep. I definitely want to watch it again at my house.
Carib.
This is real bad.
As soon as possible.
Oh god, Carib's bad.
Oh boy.
So, Damian, you may now proceed to tell me how much you hate this movie.
I started looking at places, like, what's if IMAX will be showing this movie when I get to Canada? Like, just hope, will it still be there in 6 weeks? And praying that it is.
So that I may finally see a movie. Is more than likely yes.
Mm-hmm.
Given what I've seen with the running of things here.
Yes.
But yeah, let's talk about that.
All right. This movie, the pacing is bad. The first, let's say, 40 minutes of this movie, you get 10 minutes of goodnosity, and 30 minutes I am going to cut out of this movie. Like, I'm not even going to ask anybody.
So
when you come to my
house, Damian, if you think about
I'm cutting 30 minutes
out of
this movie.
If you cut 30 minutes, you still have a 2.5-hour goddamn movie.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Because much like the first, initially, I was going to cut everything that is not the last fight. I was going to, like the first Avengers movie, if you come to my house right now and you turn on the first Avengers movie, it kicks off when Loki is in New York. There's no talking. I don't need to explain anything to you. You've seen these movies. I'm here for the fighting. The disc, the Blu-ray with the movie is there somewhere. I don't know. Don't care. I don't need to see the talking part of that movie. It's unnecessary. And that is, when I left the theater initially, that is what I thought of the second one. I was just like, what I'll do when I get this movie is when they open the thing, when, not Gamora, her, the sister.
Sadly, I know her actual name more than the real, Karen Gillan is her real name. I don't know what her cybernetic.
Nebula.
When Nebula throws the micro, spaceship into the air and it appears and shoots the lab, the Avengers headquarters. I'm like, I can start the movie there and I'd have missed nothing. But then I remembered, like, as I was talking to people, I remembered that the discussion of the time heist is also a wasting of time. But the actual heist itself is real fun because it is where the movie breaks from its long, depressing road to be like, we know why you still like these movies. It is not because of the consequences. It is because these movies are fun and have big action. And so it gets you back to, these are some scenes from previous movies that we're going to enter, make fun of, leave. And it is in that scene when he talks to one of the magicians, when the Hulk talks to one of the magicians, and she explains...
The ancient one.
She explains what will happen if they mess up time travel. I'm like, good. So now I don't even have to explain how the time travel works. I can just start this movie when they time travel. Because she has explained that time travel is how we got here. And then I can move. I'm like, thank you, movie. You've given me an out. I can cut even more of this movie than I thought I would need to. And she does that. And for a second, it provided me with a reprieve from what is my least favorite part of this movie, which is Hulk not being Hulk. Banner Hulk is shit. I don't want the Hulk to be that. No one wants the Hulk to be that. It is why the Hulk in Ragnarok is incredible. That is the Hulk everyone likes. This shitty Hulk, no one cares for. I don't need that shit. He's bad. He's not fun at all. And if we look at the fight, what did the Hulk do? In the last major part, what did the Hulk do in that fight? Can you tell me?
He lifted up a building.
Huh?
He snapped his fingers.
Right. And then was taken out of the fight.
Yeah.
So the thing that we look forward to so much the first time around and saw him get defeated immediately. Whereas like, I'd have loved to see a rematch with him at any, even if he got his ass kicked again. I wanted to see the Hulk get some kind of redemption for that. Nothing there. Then they wasted Miss Captain Marvel. Which, when I saw that at first, I was just like, you fucking, but then Captain saved the day. Like, Captain and that hammer. He was like, well, I'm sorry, movie, I apologize. I thought you were going to be real dumb here. And so there was a couple instances in the final fight that are just spectacular. And everyone that sees it will, like, with Scarlet Witch. And when Miss Marvel comes back and he has on the gloves and she's holding him and he punches her. And realize, this is a terrible idea. Just like, all right, move you forward. You work your way back. But there is a 30-minute window at the start of this movie where they chop off his head. Then they show what happens to Hawkeye's family. And then they skip the 5 years ahead. And it is just sad. For too long of a time.
I like that part though.
Except, no. Except for the part where they don't need to. Here's the thing, this is a cartoon. They don't need to try and explain to me the ramifications of half of the world disappearing. And the time they spent trying to play to me, it was like, this is what would happen. They get it wrong. That is not what would happen to the world if half of it disappeared overnight. Bad shit would happen to this world. Real bad shit. Not people sitting in a room and the place getting dirty and trees overgrown. That is not what would happen to this world. There are real bad people in this world. Correct?
No, I don't think so.
Would they take advantage of this situation? Good, right. How quickly would bad people take advantage of this situation?
But half overnight. Of the bad people went away as well. So you know.
Yeah, but as long as one of the bad people are alive, they're going to do real bad shit. Immediately. Not, let us see what happens. No. They're going to get cracking with the bad shit right away. There's these things called power vacuums. I don't know if you've looked over the world what happens when power vacuums exist. Bad shit happens. So, and like it felt like it went on for more than a little too long. And all it was there for was for you to go, boy, the situation is real bad. And then they had to justify why Tony wouldn't immediately jump to helping them. But having a rat bring back what's his name, Ant-Man, and all of that. Like, you don't get to, in the middle of the most depressing part of your show, tell me that a rat steps on a keyboard and brings him. Like, that is a joke. But we're not in joke time. We're in serious ramification time. And they're just like, no.
I'd like to think in a different version of this movie, Ken Jeong has a whole scene and they just went like, no, he's not funny, and they cut it out completely.
So in, like, there was there was someone who was just like, in the theater, oh Lord said, wait a second. So that means that Doctor Strange, the reason it took him 14 million tries to beat Thanos is because for the other 14 million times, the rat didn't hit the keyboard. And I was just like, that's a pretty good observation, sir. Yeah, because it is a 1 in 14 million chance that a rat would lead him out of that thing, which is dumb.
Yeah. But to be fair, I did think they would try to make it a little bit more, not jokeified, but more realistic. Like he went out the other side. Right, like he found
his way out. Yeah. But they're just like, rats. We're like, no, dog, we're in serious mode. Everything is bad here and we're serious. And then they went from, this is the darkest timeline, to rats and let's have time heist. None of that first part fits with the rest of that movie.
Damon, I love that line is still in our vocabulary.
Time heist?
No, this is the darkest timeline.
Yeah. Everyone, remember the Russos have been diligently putting everyone that was in Community
into yes, the Avengers. Yes, movie. I noticed she was in there.
They have done that. So, well done, Russo.
All right, Donald Glover is in Spider-Man.
Yes,
he is.
They put everyone in there.
Everyone? No, man. It's just the three of them.
Where's Joel McHale?
Joel McHale is not in there.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure Joel McHale has been in one of these.
We can check. But definitely, I mean, I know he's Chevy Chase, but he's definitely
no, not Chevy Chase is not. They don't have that much pull at Disney.
So they probably don't want him.
Again, they don't have that much pull at Disney. It is the thing that I've always been, it's the thing that I love most about Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. It is that at no point any part of that movie feels like a different movie. It is a long movie. It takes a long time to set. It's not like that movie starts and they're immediately fighting. There is a setup and then there's a payoff. But unlike the first movie and unlike the final movie, that middle movie felt like there's things we need to do and this is how we do them. And then the movie ends. And it's that thing that I really liked about the first Endgame movie. Where at this...
Endgame part one.
Endgame one. The end, but not the game. Start game. Half time. In the first half.
No, halftime was Ant-Man.
Oh, sorry.
Start game. Right. Halftime, I'm endgame.
In start game. There's no, like, everything felt like it was in motion at all time. Like, Thanos is like, I am getting these stones. And they were trying to stop him. And then he got all the stones and did the thing. And then the movie ended. While it still spanned almost 3 hours, at no point was there a time where you're just like, this feels like too much. It feels
Listen, this movie was extremely ambitious. Right. And for something like this, you're either going to love it like I did, or you're going to fucking hate it.
You know, what I'm saying is, the first half hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know. You don't like it.
If I take that away, and I will test this. Because there'll be four people who come to my house at some future date that haven't seen these movies.
You sure?
I'm positive. It always happens.
Have you not seen how much money this movie
has? Oh, no, I have. But the people I'm talking are weirdos. And I'm going to make creative changes to this movie and see if anyone can pick it up. And I'm going to go ahead and bet no one will. They're just going to go, no, yeah. This feels right. Outside of that, much like the first Avengers movies, the rest of this movie is fucking perfect. So 2/3 of this movie, real strong. That final fight, just like the first in the first Avengers, the fighting section, that 40 minutes worth of fighting went above what I thought any movie would have been able to get done. Because you have so much characters on screen and the fight was so well done. Like, they even gave time to Hawkeye shooting things, no look firing and killing things. You're just like, boy, you guys really thought this through and gave me a big, impressive fight. And then they did it again in Start Game. And to see them top themselves, to see them top themselves in Endgame, really impressive. Like, that final scene, when Thanos shows up, 5 years younger, with an axe, you're just like, all right. And then Thanos proceeded to put in that work. Thanos did to them. Like, they thought the Thanos they fought was bad. But a 5 years younger, even more angry Thanos was giving them the business. Like, while watching that, I'm just like, how did Titan ever get this? Like, if there's two more people like Thanos on his home planet, they should have just taken over more of the universe. Titan shouldn't have, nothing should have happened. They should have just gone to another planet. Three of them would have wiped that planet out. And then just go, this is Titan 2. And just keep expanding. Instead of him vowing to kill everybody. Because holy shit, that man is powerful. And like the stakes just kept getting higher. And then when he's just like, all right, listen, I'm wiping out. I'm sick and tired of your faces. And he's just like, my entire army, let's go. And you saw Captain America with the hammer. You're just like, dog, I know you think you can get this done. And then they're just like, this is the biggest battle we'll ever put on screen for the next 10 years. You'll never see anything else like this. Watching Ant-Man punch one of those flying things out of the air.
Oh, you're
just
that was like, good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know who was missing?
The Hulk.
Yeah.
Why's the Hulk not there?
His hand was hurting him.
He's a bitch. Hulk don't need two hands. It's the goddamn Hulk.
No, Hulk doesn't smash anymore.
I really enjoyed the back and forth with Tony asking Doctor Strange. When he came back, mm-hmm. he's just like,
yeah,
dog,
just
look
tell
at me.
Me.
Is this the one? It's like, I can't tell you.
Like, I love that right at end, you see Strange just be like.
Strange is just like, this is it. So it's like, fuck you. And so, like, the final thing with Captain, who gives it, like, I can, like, once Thanos fades away, I can stop this movie. Credits. But the final thing with Cap, like, it's a dumb cartoon movie. Like, of course it don't make sense. Because time travel don't make sense.
No, no, it's not. Actually, it makes perfect sense. But what I'm just sad that it appears. So there's two things that they can do. Mm-hmm. And either way, I'm actually would be kind of upset with something about it, right? Mm-hmm. One, they could do movies, or not the movies, and just the TV shows with Falcon as Captain America,
right?
Which would be great. I want to see that, but then I wouldn't get Captain America with the hammer,
right?
And I really want to see that.
Yeah, but we got it.
Or
we got 30 minutes.
No, that's solid. Not enough.
Who is
not
he going to fight
enough.
With the hammer?
I don't care.
Fair.
I don't
fair.
Care.
It's not fair, dog.
Damian, it's a fucking cartoon movie. They can draw another cartoon. They can draw another cartoon.
For his
mission, right?
They don't need it.
But the other, they could go the other way, where they say, oh, in the past, he had to use a hammer, and that's the next Captain America movie. But then, they'd essentially be rubbishing Falcon as Captain America, and that would also upset me. So now they've put me in a position where if they give me what I want, I will also be upset that they didn't give me what I want. And that's annoying.
Yep. You got it.
So yeah, that's what I didn't like about it. Not any nonsense. Listen. Damian, I already know this is cartoons. Listen. Nonsense is where I live, right?
They said time travel. I was just like, oh, of course. A fucking course. They're turning this into...
I mean, that was the only logical thing that they would... Well, logical is a strong word for what we're watching. But that was the only cartoon logical thing that they could have done. That's... even from the way that Strange said, this is the only way that you could do it.
Or, conversely, let's say they found Thanos on his island thing there, right?
Yeah.
And then the people who were left fucking went to the people who were, the people who, at the start of this movie, imagine if they just went to the thing and Thanos saw them and was just like, fucking knew you assholes would come. Puts on the gauntlet. But because they have Miss Marvel this time, it's like a real fight. Someone gets the gauntlet off him.
Yeah, but that's 10 minutes.
No, hold on. Snaps. Yeah. No, to bring back the people. Not to kill him.
I know.
Just to bring back the people.
Yeah.
And then they realize how much... So, what happens to Tony Stark could still happen. He does the snap. Mm-hmm. Drops dead.
Yes.
Right? But then all the people are back.
Yes. And then the movie's over.
No, but then Thanos is still alive.
Yeah.
Right? And Thanos realizes what's happening. Continues the fight. Find some way to get back the stones. And then it's just like, I'm out.
So you mean it's start game?
Right, yeah.
Again, which means it's probably not so good.
No. So he's like, and then he starts picking them off one at a time.
Wait. Are you talking about Velociraptors?
Yeah, that is what I would want. Right. Right? Just, he'll be just like,
David,
motherfucker.
You and I...
Yeah.
We need to stop talking to each other.
Yeah. They could have done, and that would prolong. You just like, one by one, you just see Thanos appear, grab one of them, disappear. It's like, what the shit is happening? Right? Or they like broke, like when he did it, they broke the gut, so that they split up the stones again, or some
that.
Shit.
I love and that somebody listening to this,
right?
Who hasn't listened long enough, will have no clue
what
we're talking about with Velociraptors. Yeah. Actually, even if they listen to that episode, they're probably like, what?
I don't know what these idiots are talking about. But there's other ways that they could have gone about bringing back everybody and still fighting Thanos. Have Thanos go back and find other people like him to help.
I have to say, I completely expected for this movie to be something similar to that, where they're just like, we lost. But immediately, we have a way to win, and then we win. Mm-hmm. And then
but
the rest of...
Yeah.
And the rest of the movies going forward would just be what they always have been. But why I really like this movie is they didn't do that. They said, you know what, why don't we... why don't we actually create consequences? Mm-hmm. And yes, it might end up being dumb. And I mean, they always have been dumb.
It will.
Right? But there'll be now this
weird juxtaposition
where
there's people who are sad and depressed and people who have no idea what.
Yeah, this overtone this heavy overtone.
I can see that being handled real poorly.
Yeah.
For a good long time.
I can also see it being handled really
In fact, I already saw it being handled real poorly because they started school. There's a clip of them going back to school.
That was stupid.
That's not how school would happen if half of the population returned. You don't just send the kids back to school.
But Damian, how will they get their diplomas?
How about
this worldwide panic of people not being sure if they can trust the Avengers ever again. It's like, none of this shit matters because at any point some asshole can blink half of us out of existence again. Here's what I really wanted. Here's how I wanted this show to end. Because they have Miss Marvel. I wanted her to punch the planet in half. Like his shitty planet. I wanted this movie to start by her flying through his shitty planet. Just having it blow up immediately. And then let's have this fight. Let's have this fight. And having him panic, retreat, and find some way to try and kill Captain Marvel.
Retreat.
Retreat. If someone punches your planet in two, you're going to step back. This is Dragon Ball Z after the fight.
Why are we watching G.I. Joe?
But yeah, I need to watch this movie again to see. Now that I really want now to that I understand that the first 30 minutes are a waste of my time. Got in with the expectation. So maybe I won't be as disappointed. Because I'm the only one that shares this view, by the way. No one else I've spoken to. Everybody's just like, fuck, this movie is the greatest. But I remember that happening with the first Avengers movie. Where I was like, half of these movies are a waste of fucking time. And people are just like, Damian, how dare you? They talk. Gives a shit.
I actually think with like 99% of the Marvel movies that they have this effect on everyone, which is on day one you watch it, it is just so pleasing that you're just immediately happy with everything. And then as time goes along, and I know, Damian, you have the foresight of a Doctor Strange to see everything. But I'm talking about people in general.
I don't like people.
Right? Because I feel like I've been victim to it repeatedly with these movies, that as time has gone on, you look back and you're like, no, that one was bad. or that one, you know, it's okay. Like, now that we rank them all, like, we're like, yeah, whatever with that one.
I think the only one I was really off on initially, like the first time I saw it, was Iron Man 3. I thought that movie was spectacular the first time I saw it. I really did.
I still like that movie.
No, yeah, but I thought it was, like, I thought it was Captain America's good.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm still upset that at no point post Iron Man 3 have they acknowledged that Pepper Potts can breathe fire. I wanted just one shot of this movie with her like coming out in the suit and everything, where she just breathes fire as well, and then just to remind us that they did that.
That one I was wrong on, because I've seen that movie maybe 2 times since then, and it's okay.
It's definitely better than okay, but yeah, it's not
bad.
Captain America,
right? It's whatever the tier below Captain America is.
Actually, is it Captain America?
No, it's not. That's what I really like it. I get it. You love Iron Man.
Yeah, I do.
It's not the bad ones. It is the middle ones. So it's trash. Okay, Captain. As I remember, Age of Ultron. Like, I remember halfway through that movie, I thought, this is going to be something special. Because they had the hammer scene, and they had, like, Ultron seemed to be a real menace. But then by the time that movie ended, you're just like, no. Something is off. This feels like, Jarvis, Vision.
Vision.
Right, Vision stabbed him in the end, like,
I'm actually kind of sad that they didn't figure out some cartoonishly bad way to bring back Vision. I liked him.
Did you though?
I did.
What did he do? What's his powers?
His powers are being kind of weird.
Like, he's bad in all the fights. From Age of Ultron to now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should be all powerful, but he's bad. Like, in Start Game, those things came and stabbed him twice, and he was just like out of the fight for the rest of it. It's like, you suck. The game is off.
Start Game.
Like, he's as useless in Start Game as Hulk is in Endgame. The fuck, they're fucked up Hulk. Who did this? Who thought this was a good idea?
You motherfuckers.
The guys who brought you Winter Soldier.
But in defense, Cap on that hammer.
Oh,
and then all of the ladies in this doing real work. It's pretty good. It really is pretty good. Wanted more from Miss Marvel still. I don't know. Like, her movies going forward, what does she fight? Is what I'm concerned with.
Yeah, because she's so...
She's so strong.
Powerful.
Right.
Yeah. Again,
and I want
they can
see...
draw some more cartoons.
Yeah, no, but that is the thing. It is why I was worried for a long time before Man of Steel came out. I was worried that they were going to make another Superman movie where Superman has human people to fight. I know I want to see that shit. Superman fighting... like, Lex Luthor can't be Superman's nemesis because he's a person. What the fuck are you people doing? I want to see that. Right? You want to see Superman fight something that is worthy of his superness. That is what I want with Miss Marvel. And they did that at the final part of her movie. Like, they started showing just how powerful she was. And had the dude panic and he's just like, I cannot be here. I don't want to do this. We have to leave immediately. And you saw glimpses of it in this one. But I wanted her to do more. Like, once she landed on the planet, I wanted her to, like, truly flex and show how much power she has. Because it's a power fantasy. Like, that is what all of these movies are. And Captain was the only one that... like, even Thor with two hammers didn't really... like, it wasn't until Captain picked up the hammer, you're just like, oh, yes! No one else really got to show off. Like, just how powerful they could be. I did like when Spider-Man activated kill mode.
Yes!
Oh! Oh!
He's just like, no, this is it. I gotta do it.
Activate kill mode. Murder.
I almost was upset they didn't do the thing of having him say sorry with every Murdo.
Mm-hmm. He was beyond that. It's like, we got to get moving. But yeah, still disappointed. As I said, disappointed in the first third. The second, like, the other two thirds is what that movie needed to be. And I'll go rewatch the first third to cement my thought process and then wait for the movie to come out properly to watch it properly.
Mm-hmm.
In an air-conditioned room,
mm-hmm.
looking real right, and then I'll make a decision.
I can't wait
to see that movie properly.
Yeah.
Remember when you thought like the gray bars was acceptable? I know you look at it like when you use this, like, who does this?
Yes, so much bezel.
Speaking of things you can't see, Game of Thrones finally put out my episode.
Things you cannot see.
Remember 7 years ago, you guys were like, what, 8 years ago? 9 years ago, because it was 2 years between this. So almost a decade ago, you guys were like, they may need to watch Game of Thrones. And I watched it and it was okay. Then they murdered Ned Stark. And I was just like, I see what this is. I like this. And then the bitch found dragons and I came on. I was just like, fucking dragons and ice people? Let's do this. And then... there were some lean years. People thought that having a red wedding and some other bullshit was enough. But I kept saying, after the second season, this show sucks. And you guys said no and ignored me. And then the third season happened and I said, this show sucks. And you guys said no and ignored me. The fourth season, Douglas was like, wavering. He was like, boy, this Damian. This Damian proclaiming this show as bad seems to be gaining some traction here. But Andrew was steadfast.
Andrew was like, no. Season 5, Douglas was fully on board. Douglas was like, boy, I'll keep watching this. Because I like the Arrow, but boy, this show.
It is better than the Arrow.
Right. And yeah. Andrew started wave. I saw his face. He was just like, boy. Season 6 is when everybody was on board. I was just like, fuck, this show sucks. And she's just like, listen, there's 2 seasons left. Who gives a shit? And by the end of season 6, everyone that I speak to in regular, during the regular course of my life was just like, fucking Game of Thrones and their bullshit. But then, someone said to them, you've got 2 seasons to wrap this bullshit up. And the first trailer for season 7 came out and you saw a dragon strafe across the sky and burn shit and went fucking A. And season 7 is what season 2 should have been. They're just like, listen, we're setting up all of the characters. The people hate each other. The dragon bitch is here and the ice people are coming. That is what we promised at the end of season 1. This is it. This is the wrap up. Season 7 was a strong season. Season 8, the first 2 episodes you just knew. They were just like, listen, we're getting all of the goodbyes and the talking out of the way. Because the real shit is about to go down. And finally, after 9 fucking years, they gave me my episode. And now I am done. I need to see shit after this. This episode is fucking spectacular. And if you want a lesson in how to pace an episode, you watch season 8, episode 3. Because this is one giant fight that they broke up into sections. So at no time you were bored, at no time you were confused, and you were engaged and entertained at all time, and the ending is fucking spectacular. Now, there's more story to tell. Who gives a fuck? Ari and her no-look, hezzy, dagger stab, fucking tremendous. This entire time, they're just like, Jon Snow is killing the Night King. And Jon Snow couldn't get fucking close. That half-faced dragon shit. This episode looks spectacular. I assume it cost them $1 trillion. But watching all of the people, watching Arya get shook because she was out there killing the game. And then someone backhanded her into like a wall. She's just like, I am out. Fuck all of this. I have to survive. I'm going back inside of this place and hiding this out. And then there was a section in the library. It was like a horror movie where she was tiptoeing around. That was good. And then Melisandre with her assist throughout the episode. She started off real strong, but it was no use. And then in the middle again, she was just like, I'm doubling down on the fire. Lit the moat on fire. And again, no use. And at the very end, she's just like, I told you were going to kill 3 set of people. Blue eyes, green eyes, and brown eyes. And Arya was just like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then she hit her with the final motivation. What do you say to the god of death? Now, did I need 8 seasons to set up why that was prolific? Fuck no, I did not. But it does help that for 8 seasons he heard people say that to her on and off. It's like, what do you say to the god of death? When she was a little girl fighting with a stick, all the years she was training to be faceless, whatever. And when she hit her with that and you saw her run out the room, they didn't immediately cut. Like, they showed you everyone else suffering. So for a second, you forgot that she was even part of the battle. And the Night King, instead of sending the people to immediately kill Bran, he was just walking up to him, showing all of the bravado in the world. He's just like, I'm up by 2. There's only 1 second left. I got this in the bag. And the thing I love most about that final scene, and I've watched it a lot. I've seen it maybe 4 times in the 4 days ago where it aired. Just before you see Arya, one of his henchmen, you see his hair, like, brush forward. Like there's a whoosh sound. And you watch his hair move forward just a little. And then you see Arya out of nowhere. And you're just like, like it was 12:30 in the night. Arya jumped. I was just like, yeah! Forgetting that there's people in the house. And then she got caught and you're just like, oh shit. And then in slow-mo, she's just released cat stab and woke up everybody in the house. Didn't give a shit. It's like, you guys can't go. They're like, Damon, what's wrong? Can't go back at your bed? I'm going to my bed right now. I'm working in the morning. Game of Thrones, I've taught a lot of smack. Most of it deserving. It's going to take me a while to sift through fucking 5 seasons worth of trash to put together, I guess, 2 hours worth of things that are germane to this story when I buy all of this shit and watch it properly. But what I'll tell you is that this lived up to what I dreamt about at the end of season one. This is what I wanted. And you fucking delivered. And for that, I tip my hat to the people of HBO. You fucked up for years, but you got it done in the end. 3 more episodes. Like, you could just have credits run for 3 hours at this point. Now I'd go, fucking A. But yeah, that 3rd episode, oh God. It is beautiful. It is well paced. People get murked. Perfect ending. Well done, Gabe. Well done, HBO. I'll trust you moving forward. You think Walking Dead can pull off something like this? I don't think so. Game of Thrones did it. And I'm impressed. I really am impressed. Thank you. I assume none of you saw this episode.
I mean, the only thing I want to add to all of this is I'm saddened to realize that I'm now behind as one of my picks have bit the dust.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Which one is that?
Rest in peace, Theon Greyjoy.
Yeah. You thought Theon had any shot of coming out of this?
I don't think I picked Theon, did I?
No one else picked Theon. He's a lunatic. It's like, Theon will make it. Just no. The second he saved his sister, you're just like, he's dead as shit. Someone's going to get him. Boy, that Game of Thrones episode made me so, so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Saturday was Avengers, Sunday was Game of Thrones, and playoffs. Like, I was living my best life.
When did you have time for sports? That's like 5 hours of media.
Excuse me? I always have time for sports.
He had the sports on in the theater while he was watching.
I went home and watched the sports.
He had it on his phone streaming.
We went to fucking JoJo's. It was terrible.
JoJo's? And yeah, I don't like JoJo's.
I think I checked the score once when someone was like, damn it, I think this game is over. And I looked at my phone and I was like, yeah, I think the game is over. But I do have some self-discipline. You know? There's a time when if there are sports on, no matter where I was, if I knew this, I was just like secretly, not so secretly, spending most of my time worrying about it. But then I remember that I don't play and can't help whoever it is. And especially now that I don't have a team, couldn't care any less.
I like that movie.
Which movie?
A Team.
Oh, A Team.
A Team.
A Team. I like Pacified Rim more. Pacified Rim. Jesus Christ. Oh, you have any tickets for Pacified Rim? Oh, Jamaica. Oh, Jamaica.
Say, Game of Thrones is getting really good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. People kept telling me to read the books and watch the show. I can't see why now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the dragons are doing real work.
I was sort of hoping in that whole episode, especially like in the crypt when you started seeing the dead things in the crypt coming alive that you'd see Ned Stark pop up.
Mm-hmm. You mean Chekhov's crypt? For the first two episodes, they're just like, it's the safest place. It's like, he raises dead people.
Yeah.
Who didn't see this?
That was a funny thing. I didn't actually realize it, but as soon as it happened, I was like, yeah, you guys should have figured that out.
Hey, guys. John told you, he raises the dead.
Like, I'm pretty sure one of us as a joke said Ned Stark would come back in this season. I just wanted it to happen so that somebody would flip out. And just be like, I told you. Bonus points, Ned Stark.
Unless they assumed he raised them one at a time. Like, it was said real early. He raises the dead. It's an army of the dead.
I thought the assumption was that even if he raises the dead, like, it's the immediate dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the super dead.
Okay.
Right? So, like, all of those dead people in the crypt who are, like, when you see, like, bones crawling out, you're like, that can't hurt me.
Yeah, not the dead dead. It's like all the women and children in the place where we keep dead people. Great.
Leave me and my shitty comic book logic alone.
Boy, that episode was good. Jeez. I thought they were going to fuck it up. I'm not going to lie. There's so much hype around this episode. It's like, they're going to fuck this up. But from the second Melisandre lit the Dothraki spears and they ran out there, just the shot of the light slowly going out, and you're just like, this is bad. Because they're like the best. And the fact that someone thought of that visual. Because they're just like, how are we going to show that these people did not make it? Because if they rode out into the darkness, you wouldn't have really been able. And you just watch the lights slowly. And you're just like, this is, you guys should go inside. It is really impressive. Like, I understand that they have a budget that is bigger than most movies. I get it. But, like, people clearly work their asses off. I think that's a little bit.